say.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the breath of life. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we thank you above all, Lord, that you have saved us, Father, that you've opened up our eyes, Lord, that we walk in truth and we walk in you. And Lord, this day, Father God, as we would come before you, Lord, as we would open up your word, Lord, as we would study the scriptures, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Father, you know where every person's at, Lord God. You know what is going on in the lives of each and every person here. And so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister, Lord, to each person, Lord. Minister to them where they are, Father God. Lord, this day, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord Jesus, you feed us, Father, from your hand. And Lord, right now, I decrease and I get out of the way and I invite the free flow of your Spirit, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, and we bind every hindrance, Lord, and we cast it out. Amen. 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 Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, class. No morning class. No. Good morning. How have you been? It's been a little while since I've seen you all. Are you doing well? Are you struggling? Are you just kind of making it? Or are you overcomers in your walk with Christ? Are you standing strong? And how do you feel? Anyone, how are you feeling? Are you feeling like, yes, you are really overcoming in Christ? Or, ayo, what? I'm going to ask you these questions. Yeah, sure, why not? More than a conqueror. Yes, yay, we have one. One person who is more than a conqueror. Yeah. So everyone else is just kind of holding on and just hoping to make it through? Just hoping that maybe they can make it till Jesus comes back. Yes? I hope not. I really, really hope not. Because God has, when Jesus Christ saves us, when he comes into our heart and he saves us from much more than just sin and death, and he actually gives us a new life. And so in the new life that Jesus gives us, what does he give us? You know, sometimes if you don't know you have something, you never really take hold of it and enjoy it. Let's say Nelson had a family member that used to own 1,000 acres of beautiful tea estate. And that family member died 50 years ago and left everything to Nelson. But Nelson never knew about it. So he would go through his whole life never knowing about it, never enjoying it, never visiting this place, never doing anything with it. And then when his life is over, maybe somewhere along the way, he would, oh my goodness, I had this the whole time. So wouldn't that be a shame? Wouldn't that be a shame if you had something and it was there for you all the time but you never knew about it? I tell you today, there is so much that you have. There is so much that God has made available to you that is yours. That He died on the cross so that you would have. And that you could live in and exist in and enjoy and live a full life. And not just scraping to get by and okay, I can just kind of make it, maybe another week. So it is to your benefit, it is to your strengthening, it is to your edification in Christ to seek the Lord for yourself. To pursue the Lord for yourself, to not let your faith be dependent on a person, but to let it come straight from the Good Shepherd. Let Him show you who you are. To let Him teach you and to strengthen you and for Him to reveal to you who you are, because He will show you so much that is yours even now. So in that showing process, what He's doing also is He's also revealing to you what is really going on around you. Scriptures say, my people perish for lack of what? You had a Bible quiz last week. Oh, she's already there. As you can say, right. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Yeah. It's not that you don't have things that are made available to you, but they've never been revealed to you. You never knew what it was that you had, so you never were able to walk in something. Now, Proverbs 1 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, yeah. So it's the starting point is the submission of the life to the Father. He gives all wisdom and knowledge, practical application to how you're able to go through life. So if you have knowledge about good eating habits, and you apply that, what would happen? You have a healthy life. So if you have knowledge about and knowledge and application, if you have knowledge about exercise, you have good strength, you have good energy, you're able to apply your body as a tool, not a liability. Okay, so if you have knowledge that there will be a drought in this area for about 3 months, and you knew that was coming, what would you do? You would make some preparation. You would do some things to prepare yourself. So God is a giver of wisdom and knowledge and understanding to those that are His people. Now the world shuffles information. The world takes pieces of information, but it can never really make sense out of it. Yeah. But God gives wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the ability to apply it to His people. So His people are the only ones with a properly functioning mind. And you're locked in here with a bunch of crazies. Okay, so so we're all born into this world. So welcome, you're here. And all of us are here for a period of time. So nobody stays here, no one exists here for the next 1,000 years. Every one of us, give or take, somewhere in the next 100 years, we're gone. Maybe a few people might make it a little longer, but everyone is going. Okay, so now while you are here, while you exist in this world, there's a certain reality that you're having to deal with all the time. So we face things. We face struggles. We face attacks against our mind. We face natural conditions that come against us. We face many different things. And so some of the stuff that we face, we have to be able to distinguish what is really us, who we are, and what is something that's external or working against us, know to separate. Okay, recently I've been taking some time just before the Father and saying, okay Lord, what is really going on? Because I really want the Father to show me how what is really going on in the reality that I experience every day. Because I know that what I see with my eyes is not real, is not the reality. And I know that the world that embraces that reality is on a destructive path. So, would you like to know a little bit about what's really going on around us, in us? Because when you begin to know, okay, so yes, everybody's like, yes, tell me. Okay, alright, let's go to Romans chapter 8, or chapter 7 actually. Now sometimes, let me give you a little clue with your Bible reading sometimes. When the scriptures were written, there was no chapters separating everything. Chapters were introduced into the scripture to help people find places, because otherwise if you had a huge letter or a huge book, you'd never find something again. So if someone said, just go to the book of Romans and you had no chapters, you would spend 20 minutes just trying to find the same place. But when you read, sometimes bridge between the chapters. Don't just go and say, okay, today I read Romans chapter 8, tomorrow I read Romans chapter 9, the day after I read Romans chapter 10, because there's many times it's already going in a flow. So I'll show you something like that. But just You know, sometimes just go past a few verses, go ahead a few verses, because it all is together. It was written straight. Okay, so we'll start in chapter 7. And let's go with verse 21. And we'll go from verse 21 through chapter 8. And let's go through verse 6. Now, I want to bridge verse 25 and verse 1. Okay. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, three things mentioned in those two verses: mind, flesh, spirit. So if you just read verse 25, you'd only see the mind. If you just read verse 1, you'd only see spirit and flesh. But the truth is, but all of this is existing inside of you. Okay, so let's do it like this. Alright. So this is my... okay, I don't know if I should use a person. Okay, this is me. I'll just go, this is me, right? So this is Govinda. Now, inside, you have spirit, you have flesh, and you have the mind. Okay. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll take the blame. Go ahead. Okay. So inside, The body that you live in is like the car, is like or the bus or the three wheeler. It's how you get to where you're going. But unlike the three wheeler or unlike the car, this car talks to you. This car has emotions and desires and feelings and inclinations towards certain things. So this car, you will say, okay, I need to go to Pilaus, and the car will say, no, I'm tired, I don't want to go. So this car, when you get in and you say, okay, I want to do this, it'll say, no, I want to do that. And the flesh, left unchecked, will literally destroy a person. Okay, now when somebody, before someone comes to Christ, before somebody has a revelation of Jesus Christ in their heart where the Spirit comes alive inside of you, right? Before that happens. Okay, your spirit is dead. Okay, so you have, there is no spiritual life inside of you. Your spirit is dead, and what you have going on is this interconnect between the flesh and the mind are both working together to destroy you and everybody else around you. Now, the world that we live in, the spiritual powers and principalities that are around us, the world system that is pushing everything, is encouraging and influencing the mind to go with the flesh. So this is the system that you're born into. When you are born dead. So you're born spiritually dead. Now when you have the Spirit of Christ comes alive inside of you, right? Now what happens is you have now a break between these two. You have a division that's taking place now between the flesh and the Spirit. So now these two are in a war against each other. The flesh and the spirit is in a war against each other. And both of these are competing for the affections of your mind. Okay, let's go back to what Paul was writing here. Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, this is how it's happening. It's through Jesus. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So now there is a deliberate decision that has been made when he's writing, and he's writing about himself and his walk with Christ, a deliberate decision to, with the mind, the free will, to choose to follow God. And see, there's a choice that's made inside of the heart or mind of every person, which way you will go. So you remember when we talked about two kingdoms, yes? The kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. So throughout scriptures you will always see this, just it comes down to one of two. And these are spiritual kingdoms, not natural ones. So it's not the kingdom of Sri Lanka and the kingdom of India and the kingdom of Pakistan and the kingdom of America. It's not all of these things. It's either the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God. Because in all those natural kingdoms, you have both the wheat and the tares growing together. You have both the children of God in there and the children of the devil. That's why all of these wars are so stupid. So absolutely stupid, because there's the mixture is all in there, and it's just the devil who wants to rob, steal, kill and destroy. Is he doesn't care who he kills. So when people that profess to be Christians are also pushing wars, I really think their brains don't work. So I feel they're retarded. Okay. So back to this thing. He says, I myself serve the law of God. Alright, so with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, sometimes people always say that verse, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And they stop there. What's the second part of that verse? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Sounds funny in Sinhala. Alright. Translation issues. Okay. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's plenty of condemnation for those who do not walk after Spirit. See, if somebody is not on the walk, on the path with Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Right?
Yes.
So He is a path, He's a way, He's a direction. He is, you're going somewhere with Jesus. From the time Jesus began His ministry, He was always walking somewhere. Did you notice that? If you look in scriptures, when you look at Jesus, if you wanted to find Him, if you wanted to be with Him, you had to be walking somewhere. You had to go somewhere with Him. Was He ever stationary for very long? In 3.5 years, if you wanted to be with Jesus, you had to go. I think it had to be very frustrating for people, because often they were like, Jesus, will you stay with us for a while? I was like, no, I have to go. And so if people wanted to be with Him, they had to leave their business, they had to leave their whatever it was that they were doing, whatever they were going, it was going on, and they really had to go with Him. And if not, the only hope they had is maybe He'll come back around someday. So maybe He'll come back next year, maybe 6 months from now. Oh, I heard He's over here, close by. Maybe we can make a day trip, no? But you had to be willing, if you wanted to be with Jesus, for everything else in your life to be completely disrupted and just to go. And there were times when they didn't even have food, they completely ran out of food. You're out in the middle of nowhere, no shops, no nothing, and this is what it meant to be with Jesus. And if you were not fed, if you panicked during some time during that point and said, oh my goodness, we're going to be out in this wilderness for some time, I better run back and get some food so I can come and be able to stay and listen, you would have missed the whole message. You would have missed the entire message, and you would have missed the miracle that He did when He provided in the middle of a situation like that. So there was a cost involved in following Jesus. And He was not a very easy person to be around. But anybody that truly checked their heart knew that He had the words of eternal life, that He was in fact who He said He was. He was and is the Son of God. He and the Father truly are one. Okay, so which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So verse 1, chapter 8. But yeah, it's okay, it doesn't have it there. Okay. So we walk after the Spirit, right? So John chapter, let's flip really quick. Go to John chapter 3. I want to reinforce this a little bit, but keep your fingers in Romans 8 there. Okay. So Jesus talking to, quick from your quiz last week, who was He talking to? Nicodemus. Verse 3 through verse 8, chapter 3. Okay, so again, there has to be, for the kingdom, there has to be a spiritual birth, a spiritual union that takes place with the Spirit of God. So, and with this, when Jesus talked about the people of the kingdom, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest not the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the people of the Spirit, the people of God, are being led and directed by the Spirit of God. The world is very hard for them to understand us. Because we receive our direction from another source. So the world and all of its programming and everything that it tells its people, we don't get our direction from that. We're actually getting our direction from another place, which is the Spirit of Life. So in Him we live, we move, we have our being, we follow the Shepherd, He's the one leading and guiding us. And in that place, the world, it makes the world very, very mad, and to the point where it actually hates you. So Jesus said, if they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. If they hate you, keep in mind that they hated me first. So when the world and the system of the world hates you, take heart, you're in good company because you're with Jesus. But they hate you because they realize there's something different in you and you're not still a slave to the world. Okay, let me go back to this. I want to help clue you in a little bit about what's going on now. All right. Now, when you come to Christ, when God opens your eyes, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them, right? So it's a work of the Spirit of God for anyone to ever truly come to the Father. So you can take the pressure off of yourself. It's not your job to save anyone. You can't save 10 cents. You can't save a person. Only Jesus saves somebody. Only the Spirit of God saves someone. But But what you do is you're linked up with the Spirit of God, so when God is drawing someone to Himself, He will use you in that process as part of an instrument in that process. So you have cultivated a sensitivity to the Spirit of God so that He can show, yes, this is one of mine, this is one that I am drawing. Here is the words that I will speak through you that will cut to the heart of where that person is. Massive, massive difference between that and some big outreach push that just everybody comes say a prayer. So we work with the Spirit of God. It's not about numbers, it's not about outcome, it is about in direction with the Spirit. Okay, now back to inside. So inside of us, what's going on here? Okay. Alright, when the Spirit of Christ comes alive in you, Spirit and flesh are now at war inside. So Paul was writing in chapter 7 about this war going on inside of him, a war going on inside of every one of us, right? Okay, I'll give you a clue. The flesh never gets born again. So there is an aspect of your being that you will walk around with for every day in your life in this world that is not redeemed. So scriptures tell us that no flesh will glory in the presence of God, right? Every one of us gets a new body, right? Okay, because when you die, this gets cut out. And your spirit and your soul, your mind, gets united to a new body that the Father has that's incorruptible. Okay, but while you're here, functioning and working in this dimension, you have this with you the whole time. Okay, and this flesh is warring against the Spirit. Okay. When you have to make a decision, and you make a decision in life, what happens is these three things come to a table. So your flesh and your spirit and your mind come and sit down together. And what happens is the Spirit of God says, this is the best thing to do. This is the way that I would have you to go. And the flesh says, ah, but this is the way that I want to go. So who makes the decision? Who breaks the tie? That Your mind breaks the tie. So, scriptures tell us, what does it tell us? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Be renewed, but let the Word renew you. Let the Word wash over you. Let that be the new mind that you get. See, the reason the world works so hard to program your mind, so from the moment that you wake up, you have advertisements and social pressures and all of these things coming against your mind, it's to get you to, when you make a decision, to go with this. To get you to go with flesh, and because there's a world system that's pushing that whole thing. But when you come into Christ, what happens is, greater is He that lives in you than he that's in the world. There's an empowering that comes with the Spirit of God to, if you choose to go with the Spirit and not the flesh, to go with the Spirit and not the world. But in this place, there has to be the decision that you have made to go the way of Spirit, to walk the way with Christ, the free will decision to take up your cross and follow Him. Because that is the place where there is no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Because verse 6 of Romans says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace."
8:6.
Yeah, 8:6. So he puts the two together there. Fleshly minded, carnally minded, fleshly minded, flesh mind, spirit mind. So you have a flesh mind, you have a spirit mind. Flesh mind, or you have a spirit mind. There you go. So you have a flesh mind or a spirit mind? So you have the union between the two, the decisions being made between those two. So to be carnally minded is what? Is death. And verse 1 says condemnation. But spirit mind, spiritually minded, life and peace. So there is peace in the walk in Christ. There is life in the walk in Christ. So this is the place where If you begin that path with Christ, you're born of the Spirit. That is the path that on that path there is no condemnation. There is no there is life. There is peace. That's the route that we go. But you realize that the whole time you go that way, this is with you the whole time while you're here. And Galatians, what did Paul say? He just basically said, what you need to do with that is give it no place. So bring it under subjection by the power of the Holy Spirit and give it no place. So it's always there, it'll always be with you, but let the empowering of the Holy Spirit overpower that and just don't give it place. And do whatever the Spirit of God shows you to live your life where you can walk in spirit mind. Okay, I think that's a good stop for today. We can keep going another time.